All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Welcome HoopBall Fantasy to the box score breakdown for Thursday, October 24th, 2019, day two of the NBA season, or is it day three? It's day three. That's fine. Feels like day two just because it seems like not every team has played their home games yet. So yeah, seems like day two for some. I'm mostly thinking of the Lakers who play their game two tomorrow, so that might be what I'm thinking of. But I am your host, JC DeLeon. With me, I have.
Oh, this is a. Sorry. I'm Alan Soroki. First time, new to HoopBall here, and first time on the Box Score Breakdown podcast, and happy to be here with y'all.
Cool. Welcome. So what's your fandom based of? Like, where do you live and what do you root for and that sort of thing?
So I've lived in Atlanta my entire life and have been a Hawks fan for better or worse. Seen some mostly mediocre years, but we're really on the up and up here. It's been some of the most exciting basketball I can remember. So yeah, I'm all about the Hawks, and you know. Got my favorite players, too. I'm a big Russell Westbrook guy, big on Giannis and Kawhi, too. So I'm rooting for those guys, of course, as well. But nah, it's all Hawks basketball down here.
Yeah, with Atlanta, besides Trae Young, which we talked about earlier, how I have kind of a running joke where and initially I did feel this way. But when he was first drafted, I wasn't convinced it would really work with him. And the first couple months of the season, every time he'd do something good, I'd just be like, I don't know, I'm not convinced. But eventually he proved that he does belong in this league and is a genuine superstar. And I'm still just kind of very jokingly hopefully people don't take me seriously. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Not convinced.
Yeah, you know, there's some room for improvement. You know, never sure, not really sure if that shot's gonna hit at that next level, if he can really get that Steph Curry range down.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, but on Atlanta, I like John Collins a lot. I think I liked Bazemore a lot when he was on there. It was I felt like I followed free agency really closely, and I was really surprised last night to see he's a trailblazer.
Yeah, that one kind of hit out of nowhere. We got Evan Turner back in that trade. Happened midseason. In fact, you know, it seems like a pretty good transition to just sort of slide right into our first game of the night, which was the Hawks and the Pistons.
Yeah, Hawks and the Pistons. Atlanta won 117-100 Detroit. The first team kind of coming off of a back-to-back they played last night. So we talked about Trae Young. He had a big night. 38 points, made 6 threes, 10 free throws. The surprising part about him, and just consistently surprises me, is that dude gets rebounds. He got 7 rebounds tonight and 9 assists. I don't know how he gets rebounds, but he does.
Yeah, they just sort of fall to him. You know, he always finds his way. He just kind of finds his way in, like, the bottom of the key there. Just, you know, it's sometimes it's like tip balls to him from the other team. But he's a very active guy out there on both sides of the ball. I mean, you know, he's not the best defender, but he's at least trying. And
it's one thing I like about his game is that he's fearless. He fears no contact. He fears nothing out there.
Yeah. And that was absolutely the case tonight. Absolutely, I mean, just electric from the get-go. He had 26 points in the first half, and he was knocking down fall-away threes. He was hitting threes from the logo. He was just – he set the tone early on, and, you know, he didn't need to do a lot in the second half. The team sort of rallied around him and put together some consistent effort, especially Jabari Parker off the bench, who we'll get to here in a little bit. But, no, Trey is I think he's in for a big year. People who took him in the second round of fantasy drafts are pretty positive with this very early return so far.
Yeah, one thing that does jump out, and I mean, granted, it's only day three, but it's been a really rising trend in the NBA, is that this draft class, even with Zion's injury, appears to be a really good draft class. Ja Morant played really well. Tyler Hero has been surprising people. Kendrick Nunn in Miami, undrafted, had a really great night. So it seems like a lot of the rookies are playing really well. And here you have Cam Reddish, went 0 for 6 tonight, scored 1 point, 0 for 5 from 3. But what do you expect out of Cam Reddish? I don't know if you followed the preseason or how much you saw him.
Yeah, I watched the preseason pretty intently with this team because of just the youth component that we have going on here. You know, we had, I think, between DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, and Bruno Fernando, who was the Hawks' second-round pick, they played 60 combined minutes in this one. From Cam specifically, what I've noticed with him is that, you know, he looks pretty nice driving to the hoop and, like, you hitting that little kick out pass to guys on the perimeter. And his shot was falling from outside for a little bit, but, you know, he just couldn't get it going tonight. And that's kind of my expectation with him for the early parts of the season. I think of the three, he's going to have the most difficult time with consistency. You know, I think he's owned in about, I think he's owned like 28% of leagues right now. And I'm sure that some people took a flyer on him because of the name recognition. And just, you know, I think he got the start tonight in front of Kevin Huerter, who's coming off a knee injury. I think of this bunch, the most appealing rookie by far from both a real life perspective and a fantasy perspective is DeAndre Hunter, who finished this one with 14 points on 5 of 8 shooting with a couple of threes and 2 rebounds. He in the preseason, he looked way more fluid on offense than I think a lot of people were expecting. People kind of pegged him as like a 3-and-D guy coming out of college. And, you know, I think he averaged near 13 points a game on a pretty decent shooting percentage in those 4 preseason games. So, you know, that consistency sort of carried over tonight with the efficient shooting, and he was the 4th most effective scorer on this team. So I think that he's got a very solid role moving forward, and he's my guy of those 3 rookies that's going to make a leap this year.
Yeah, he's a guy I like a lot. When the Lakers had that 4th pick and It's even though it was obvious they were going to trade that fourth pick to try to get Anthony Davis, if they were going to keep that fourth pick, and a lot of people were talking about Darius Garland, but coming out in that fourth spot, I really liked DeAndre Hunter. And so, yeah, it's good to see him play really well.
Yeah, no, we're happy to have him down here. And like I said, he has a very solidified role on this team because of his defensive acumen. You didn't really see it in the box score tonight, which I think a lot of people who have him were expecting. But he's going to hit that 25-30 minute range on most nights because of his ability to just hit. He's going to be trusted to guard probably the most talented perimeter guys on the opposing team.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And so, yeah, we talked about John Collins a little bit, too, about how much I like him tonight. He had a double-double with 18 points and 10 rebounds. Got you a block and two steals, even made a three. So played 30 minutes, second most minutes out of all the Hawks. Trae Young playing the most at 37 minutes. But what'd you like out of John Collins?
John Collins is we're all looking for that all-star leap for him this season. He was coming off of a near 20-10 year last year. And I think the thing that he worked on the most to add to his game is some of that perimeter, some perimeter skills, like handling the ball on the perimeter and hitting that three pointer. So as you mentioned, that one that he hit tonight was a pretty decent sign. But I think the most impressive thing about this line, or the most encouraging thing for fantasy owners, is that he had those defensive stats, which sort of disappeared for the majority of last season and really kind of bumped his value down a little bit. I think that a real key for him this year to reaching that third round draft valuation that he had in fantasy leagues, in 9-cat and 8-cat leagues, will be the return of those defensive stats. So seeing those, along with the three-pointer, were probably the most encouraging things I saw. The 18 and 10, that's we expect that out of him at this point.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And so over on the Pistons side, anything – so we talked last night on the live show, we talked about Andre Drummond and how much we think he's going to be a beast this season. I think he had a 30 and 20 last night. Tonight he's going to have another double-double with 21 points and 12 rebounds. Also got you a block and four steals, which is crazy. Shot eight for 12 from the field. Yeah, I think rebounds and blocks and points, I think he's always going to be one of your top guys in the league. And so if you've got him, you definitely want to hold on to him. Anything else jump out at you with the Pistons?
Well, I guess the one last thing on that Drummond line that's I'm sure people are really excited about is that 5 of 6 number from the line. Andre Drummond, he is a free throw percentage killer, but he's now in two games. He went 8 of 10 yesterday, and he went 5 of 6. This guy is, it's crazy numbers that we're seeing from him from the line so far. It's probably not sustainable at this clip. In fact, it's definitely not. But that's got to be the thing about Andre Drummond that jumps out from these first two games.
That kind of rate's probably not sustainable, but improvement definitely is. Because that's one of the things I was watching last night when I watched Brooklyn, was to see if DeAndre Jordan was still making free throws at a high clip, and he is. He still has that weird routine where he talks to his teammates before, but it's one of those things that I've always thought. Because, I mean, granted, I'm just a regular Joe, but, I can walk into a gym and I can make 8 out of 10 free throws. I've always been able to do that my whole life.
Yeah.
Granted, I don't have the pressure of thousands of people watching me and I'm not exhausted. But I've always felt that it's just such a simple muscle memory movement. I don't know why some of these guys aren't good at it. It seems to be all in their heads. I think it's something that they've addressed. That seems like that's the case.
They've watched Dwight Howard and Shaquille O'Neal just get it from all sides about their inability to improve their free throw percentages their whole careers. Maybe that's encouraging these guys to spend a little more time working on that stroke in the gym.
Yeah, and then I think guys like Kristaps have proven that just because you're a big guy doesn't mean you can't shoot or shoot free throws. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's definitely an encouraging sign there. Elsewhere on this box score, I think a lot of people were interested in who was going to absorb the power forward minutes with Blake Griffin sitting this one out again. And Markieff Morris got the start and had a pretty pedestrian stat line. He shot 3 of 11 from the field with 7 points, only grabbed 6 rebounds, hit 1 three-pointer, and had 2 assists. Elsewhere, the other guys soaking up those power forward minutes, you had Thon Maker. He didn't do much in 19 minutes with a point and 5 rebounds, a couple of block shots. And then Christian Wood, who was a fantasy darling in the last 2 weeks of last year, he got a DNP tonight. So not the most encouraging thing on the power forward front. What else did you see in this stat line? Some of these guys here.
Derrick Rose had a really great night. Shot 11 for 16, made 5 free throws, 27 points. I think last night he had 18. So to see him perform well on a back-to-back is really good. There was a Twitter, or a user, a HoopBall listener on Twitter hit me up, and first I thought I answered his question, but then he had a typo, but I never got to answer his question. But I'll answer it now, and hopefully he's listening. At first he asked me, Leonard or JJ Redick, upside for 12 team, 9 cat roto. And I thought he meant Myers Leonard, to which I answered him. And I was like, well, it's an odd comparison, but I think like JJ is going to have a meteor role on the Pelicans. And then he said, no, I meant Luke Kennard. It autocorrect messed him up. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's a different answer. To me, I feel like, because 2 nights in a row, Kennard has played over 30 minutes off the bench, and I've never been much of a Tony Snell guy. I feel like Tony Snell's role might be better served to come off of the bench and have to give those minutes to Kennard. And he outplayed him tonight, and he outplayed him last night. Last night he had 30 points. So that's kind of where I sit with Tony Snell versus Luke Kennard.
Yeah, Tony Snell always kind of gets you that empty starting stat line. And for reference, tonight in 34 minutes he only scored 9 points on 3 of 8 shooting. They were all 3 pointers. He had 3 of those, and he had 2 assists and 2 rebounds and a block shot. It's nothing that's going to blow you away. And on that Luke Kennard front, you know, I think after that 30 point game that he came out with yesterday, I think he was behind PJ Washington for the most added player in Yahoo Fantasy Leagues. I actually was among those people. I decided to stream him for this game because I don't trust the Hawks' perimeter defense. But it seemed like, you know, he was firing out the gates. I think he hit his first 3 out of his 4 shots, and it just fell off a cliff from there. Inefficiency is kind of the name of the game when it comes to Kennard. He's a pretty frustrating guy to own in fantasy leagues, and I think that, you know, he still is going to hit that high 20s, low 30s minute mark on most nights because, you know, I don't think, you know, Bruce Brown also starts over him, but he's not going to really play much more than 20 minutes on a given night. So I think people should give Luke Kennard a look still. You know, if you bought into him after the 30 point game and are considering dropping him now, maybe see what it looks like after the Pistons get some rest under them and they're not playing on a back-to-back set, because, you know, he does have a consistent role on this team.
Yeah, for sure. Right, that pretty much wraps up this game. Let's move on to the first of the TNT slates. Was really interested to see this game. Just because and even though they lost, we'll start with the Rockets. The Rockets, I think, were going to be one of the more interesting teams coming into this season, just because it's boom or bust for them. It seems like that it has the potential for them to be out of this world great, or it's going to implode like a flan like a souffle in an oven. And right away, first quarter of game one, you've got Russell Westbrook and James Harden jawing at each other a little bit. Nothing too dramatic or serious, but it was there.
We saw it. Yeah. I mean, Twitter made sure to make note of that one. You know, do you chalk that up to anything more than two guys who know each other trying to get on the same page and what is their first game, professional game with each other? And it's got to be like, what, 7 years?
Yeah. And I mean, the Rockets, to their credit, at one point were making a lot of threes at a really efficient rate. But then crunch time happens, and I feel like the crunch time strategy for a lot of teams playing against the Rockets is like, sure, Russ, go ahead and shoot as many threes as you want. Because that's pretty much what happened here, and they ended up losing by six. But I mean, together, Russell Westbrook and James Harden, well, James Harden had a pretty subpar night. He only shot 2 for 13, 1 for 8 from three, made 14 free throws because he's going to get to the free throw line. 14 assists for him. Westbrook had 24 points, 16 rebounds. I don't know, that dude gets rebounds, and he really he skies for them too.
He will continue to as well.
Yeah, 7 assists, 2 steals, block. He made 3 threes, shot 7 for 11 from 3-point line, but inefficient 7 for 17 overall. Besides those two, does anything stick out for you on the Rockets?
So from a fantasy, so this was both of these teams, this was their first game of the season. So there was a couple of things that you want to take a look at some of these new setups with the Rockets. I think one of the guys that fantasy owners are probably most interested in seeing mesh with Russell Westbrook is not just James Harden, but Clint Capella. There was a lot of concern in the lead up to the season that, Capella was going to lose a decent chunk of his rebounds to Westbrook, who, has famously over the years, there's plenty of clips of it everywhere. He'll just sky out of nowhere and box out his own teammates and just grab as many boards as he can. As you mentioned, Westbrook had 16 tonight, but Clint Capella still was able to get that double-digit number that people drafted him for. He finished his night with 13 points, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, and a steal on 5 of 10 shooting from the field. It's a very Clint Capella line, and it's pretty encouraging to those who were able to snag him in those late fourth round, early fifth round picks. He's probably going. I think he's going to be one of the steals of this year, just because people were a little too afraid of that drop off. It's the only thing I can think of that would bump a guy down that far. Because I mean, look, Clint Capella is one of the most consistent centers in fantasy basketball. Huge block rates, great efficiency, and those rebound numbers, at least for this one, was still there. Some of the other fantasy notes that's interesting on this one. James Harden, he had awful shooting from the field, 2 of 13, but was buoyed by that 14 for 14 free throw number there. I think the thing that you want to watch for is just how James Harden and Russell Westbrook, how the shot distribution goes with those two on a game-to-game basis. I mean, they have very similar games, and they kind of take numbers away from each other. A lot of similar things that they do. They both set up plays for their guys. They both take a lot of shots. Tonight, Westbrook won the shot distribution battle with 17 to Harden's 13, and that's probably going to continue to fluctuate. But I mean, these two. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where they go from here. Do you have any thoughts on how these two are going to really like mesh their games together as the season progresses?
I don't. It seems like it's going to be a lot of kind of them taking turns. And you mentioned how it might be a big year for Clint Capella. I think every game there's going to be 4 or 5 minute stretches where instead of deciding to shoot threes as a team, Russell or James are going to take turns driving to the basket, and those alley-oops to Clint Capella or Tyson Chandler are going to be open all night. That seemed to happen tonight. I don't know why the Rockets got away from it, because that seemed to be a really successful play for a few minutes, and then they went back to shooting threes again. And I know that's going to be their strategy, but it seems like they should mix it up a little bit more. But yeah, I think it's going to take some time for them to adjust. I don't know ultimately. I don't think it's going to work for playoff success. I think they'll figure it out in the regular season, but yeah, I'm not a big fan of it.
I mean, it's the talent's there. It's just that these people, they're very volatile in like the ways that they play. They're well, volatile's pretty much synonymous with Russell Westbrook, but like these two really, it's going to be interesting to see how it develops. Obviously, if you're sticking with both of these guys in fantasy, but you're gonna There's going to be nights where Westbrook's going to be the man and Harden's going to take a back seat and vice versa. And there'll be some nights where they'll both kind of go off and no one else around them will do much. Tonight, they actually got some help from some of their other guys. PJ Tucker in particular had a pretty big game for him. 38 minutes, he scored 17 points on 6 of 10 shooting, 5 three-pointers, 7 rebounds and a steal. Hopefully he's not on your waiver wire anywhere, because I know he went pretty late in drafts, but this guy is a 9-cat stud, should be owned everywhere. He won't have gaudy lines, well, gaudy for his standards, but he won't be scoring 17 points a game every night. Most nights he's not going to crack 10. Those who have him, though, are probably pretty pleased with the results out of this one.
So I believe the plan for tonight was to so this this Thursday night game between the Clippers and the Warriors ended up being a blowout. I think the plan is for fourth quarters to be a little bit more competitive and us to have a little bit more time to record so we can move a little quicker with the Bucks. And the Bucks pretty much dominated the way you'd expect them to be. Giannis pretty much did kind of whatever he wanted. Got his I believe they said it was the ninth triple double of his career, 11 assists, 13 rebounds. Got a steal, got a block.
And he fouled out. I mean, he was in foul trouble all game, and he still managed to put up this 30-point triple double. It's pretty, only 28 minutes to get there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't see the minutes.
It was a rough go of things. It was inconsistent play in terms of the time he was out there. But I mean, Giannis is Giannis, man. That's MVP form right out the gate.
So Bledsoe came back from his injury, had 11 points, didn't do a whole lot else, so I don't really know what kind of value he's going to have. Wesley Matthews is a player I really like for this team. Played for Indiana last year, and I've kind of always liked him as one of those fringe guys, I think, who's pretty good. Maybe not necessarily in a whole fantasy sense, but
Yeah, he over the last couple of seasons, Wes Matthews, for injury reasons and unfavorable situations with his teams, he hasn't really been a big part of the fantasy landscape. But 30 minutes is in the starting lineup for this Bucks team in this Coach Bud system is not that's something to take note of. I don't think that Wes Matthews is necessarily a must-add guy in 9-cat leagues or 8-cat leagues, but I think that he's worth putting on your watch list because he's going to get consistent looks from downtown. If he's able to stay out on the floor, he's going to get you steals too, and that he can give you some decent numbers in those categories there. And for Bledsoe, yeah, he did come back from that injury. He also dealt with a little bit of foul trouble. It might take him a couple of games to get up to speed and while he's kind of, might be a little rusty after missing all that time with the rib stuff. So, I no, definitely don't panic if you drafted him. Don't try and sell him off. I'd wait a week or two and just see what you have in him because Bledsoe, from where you're able to draft him, can really capitalize. And I think he could be a value pick for some of those teams who took him. So let them work some of the kinks out there before you get too panicky there. In terms of other guys that from a fantasy perspective on this team, I think it's really you're just kind of limited to your starting five. The bench is on this team is really not roster worthy in most leagues. Brook Lopez and Chris Middleton are guys that should have better performances than they did tonight. I wouldn't be concerned with them moving forward either.
Pat Connaughton is a guy I like off the bench for them, but yeah, for the most part, I'd agree with you. All right, so this game just ended, the Clippers and the Warriors. The Warriors, I think, were going to be a concern defensively. I believe a couple people have gone so far as to say the Warriors might not make the playoffs. And after this game, offensively, I'm not that concerned because they're still the Warriors. But yeah, defense is a big concern because this roster beyond the names that Curry, Green, D'Angelo Russell, and Kevon Looney, the rest of this roster is a who's who of who the hell is that guy? Glenn Robinson III is a name only if you followed basketball in the 90s like I did because you know his dad. But Marquise Chris has never really been anyone who's been super impressive. Omari Spellman, I kind of know, but yeah, it's not a great roster beyond the starting five for the Warriors.
Yeah, I think yeah. So yeah, I mean yeah, there definitely have been some talk about, you know, questioning how viable of a playoff team this Warriors squad is, especially with, you know, people were banking on Klay Thompson coming back at some point, but now it's looking like we're not going to see him at all this season. Steph Curry, I think he's, I mean, obviously he's the guy who jumps out to you when you look at this team, but when you look at his stat line tonight, I think it highlights a lot of the concerns that people have about him sort of having this dearth of talent around him. He shot 8 of 20 from the field, had 8 turnovers, went 2 from 11 from three-point range. He was getting doubled on pretty much every possession from the get-go. And, you know, it's a real problem. At least, you know, from a one-game sample size, it did not look great. Their offense just kind of looked disjointed at times. And, you know, they were obviously able to get it going. But the worst part, it was absolutely that defense. I mean, they had no answers for Kawhi Leonard. They had no answers for Patrick Patterson, if you can believe that, who hit 6 threes in this game. Draymond dealt with a little bit of an arm injury at the beginning too. I don't know how much that affected his play throughout the rest of the game. He finished with 11 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Those should all come up as the season progresses. I think his season high totals, especially in those rebound and assist categories, are going to be pretty high. But I don't know. It's a who's of who the hell is that? You said it yourself. I'm looking through these bench guys right now. I mean, it's tough, man.
Yeah.
I don't really know where they go.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough year in San Francisco for this team. I wasn't really going so far. Yeah, like I said, I wasn't going so far as to say to count them out for the playoffs, but it's definitely not looking good for them.
Yeah, I don't necessarily buy that notion. I mean, talk is talk. I think that you can't just discount what they've been as an organization over the last few seasons, even if they're missing a good amount of their core.
Yeah.
I do expect them to compete for that playoff spot, but I think there's going to be some growing pains to start off here to get some of these new guys involved and try and get some of these inexperienced guys up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
Kevon Looney, on an injury note, by the way, he did not return to this game. Marquise Chris started the second half in his place. Looney finished with 10 minutes on the night, only 3 points, 9 boards, no defensive stats. Not sure if there's been an update on his status. I believe it was a hamstring thing. But, you know, he was kind of a fringe guy in leagues right now. If you know, you shouldn't drop him immediately, but you should keep an eye on that injury update on him. And he's gonna play, but it's just,
yeah,
I don't know what he's gonna give you,
especially since I think they're kind of thin on their big positions, and so yeah, I think he'll get minutes sort of by default.
Mm-hmm.
when he's healthy, when he comes back.
Yeah, but you know, Marquise Chris was kind of that preseason darling for them. He ended up making the team ahead of Alphonso McKinney, who, you know, he was there for some of those championships. I think that they see he is, you know, he sort of flamed out in Phoenix, but he might be a guy that could, if Looney misses time, he would be a guy who would see a bump. I mean, he only saw 14 minutes tonight, but he wasn't terrible in that time. So he could be a guy putting on your watch list. Definitely not adding him yet, but I think he at least warrants just a side eye right now.
Mm-hmm. And the Clippers were the Clippers. Lou Williams, yeah, off the bench, had 22 points. Their bench is going to be a force to be reckoned with. Montrezl Harrell had 18 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Pretty easy night for Kawhi. He only had to play 21 minutes, scored 21 points. Had a career high at 9 assists. I had no idea that he didn't pass the ball as that much. He's never had a 10 assist game. So
yeah,
the next one will be his first.
And he, there's a decent chance he'll hit it. You and I were touching on this at the before we started recording, but the Clippers don't have a natural distributor on this team. Patrick Beverley, and Landry Shamet are two guys who have played point guard, for years, but neither of them are that pass first kind of guy. It's sort of pass by committee, with Kawhi actually looking like he could be one of the better distributors on this team. I think it wouldn't be out of the question if he exceeds his career high in assists per game this season, which would be a boon to those who decided to take him. Another interesting stat line that jumps out here, and this could be a product of facing a Warriors front line that was very thin, but Ivica Zubac double-doubled with 16 points and 10 rebounds in only 18 minutes. Huge. I mean, there's some crazy numbers on this Clippers team tonight. That one might be the craziest.
Yeah, I think that might have more to do with the thinness of the Warriors front line, because
I would
one of the
agree.
questions I'd also had about the Warriors going in, and one of the things I talked about on the HoopBall Lakers podcast is in it, for all the ways that the Warriors sort of revolutionized the game and sort of nullified the big guys, the way that they've evolved the last couple of years is big guys have learned how to shoot and learn how to defend three pointers, and so that leaves the Warriors really small. And so even the other day, I was asking myself, I'm like, who's the tallest Warrior? And I think it's Kevon Looney, which is he stands a little over 6'9". And so yeah, I think they're gonna have a
Yeesh.
problem with guys who are legit 7 feet or 6'10" and taller. So it could be a product of that.
I mean, it's definitely worth keeping in mind if if you're like trying to make a DFS play and you see the Warriors coming up on your schedule and you're just like, well, does the team going against them have a 7-footer? Because if so, we could see some huge rebounding numbers there.
Yeah, and I think for gambling purposes, I think with the way some of the Warriors play, I think you want to hammer the over.
Yeah, I could agree with that one. Let's see. Yeah, the Patrick Patterson thing, by the way, we touched on that. The 20 points on 7 of 13 shooting with 6 threes. He is starting for this team while Paul George is out, which I don't think anyone saw coming. I don't really know if he's going to be a guy worth rostering. I mean, he absolutely should be on a watch list right now because, this is a pretty, it sticks out in your mind. A floor spacer of his caliber on this sort of team where everyone's passing the ball around could pay dividends, but I'm just not sure what he can provide outside the scoring in the three pointers because he only had 3 rebounds and an assist. He's never been a big rebounder, and he's not going to get you much in defensive stats. So there's probably better guys out there.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Well, that's going to wrap up tonight. It's a pretty easy slate for Thursday. Thursdays, I think, tend to be two or three game slates, so that's pretty easy. It's a big night for TNT.
Oh, I love that too.
Yeah, so
We get some marquee matchups to talk about pretty much every week.
So the league tries not to take anything away from TNT, so that's pretty good. So where are you on Twitter or anything like that where people can follow you?
Yes. So you can follow me at Twitter at my name, Alan Sroki. That's AlanSrochi. I've had the account for years, and I only recently just started using it while starting up here with HoopBall. So, give me a follow. I'd love to talk some fantasy hoops with some of y'all and answer any of your questions.
Cool. Yeah, and me you can find on Twitter at JCDeLeon1. You can also find that's my Instagram handle as well. On Instagram, I post a lot of stuff about basketball and sneakers, and so yeah, I'd love to talk to people about that as well. But yeah, that'll do it for tonight. Box score breakdown of October 24th. Until next time, we'll see you later, HoopBall.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.